This is Talk for Food. Your portal into quantum possibility. I'm Adam Abraham. Each week, I'll be your guide on this expedition where we'll explore the near and far reaches of this thing called life on Earth and beyond. Talk for Food is brought to you by Philos Books, whose titles for the mind and heart reflect a passion for humanity. Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in again to Talk for Food here on WebTalkRadio.net. I'm Adam Abraham, and each week we get together for a mind meeting, a meeting and a journey of the mind and of the heart, and we venture into the realm of quantum possibility, and we explore the ways and the means and the hows and the whys that we have the power to change our life in wonderful and meaningful ways. Not only can we change our lives in wonderful and meaningful ways, but we can change the world. Now, do you believe that? I do. And it's really fashionable and easy to doubt that possibility. But I prefer to understand, to accept, to acknowledge that there is a wonderful transcendental power within me, as there is in you. But we can't really use it unless and until we acknowledge that it's there. So our explorations each week involve just a sharing of information, sharing what my guests have learned, the knowledge that they have come across, and the intent behind it all is to help each of us to become the captains of our own ship of life. We're already that, but knowing that you're that puts you in a different position. It puts you in a position of making choices that otherwise we might have left to someone else. And that's one of the first things, to be ready and able and willing to make choices for ourselves to determine which direction our life will go. And sometimes it means focusing on yourself, focusing on what's happening with you. It means looking at yourself. You know, many of my listeners, myself included, are exercising their ability and this whole idea and notion of having the power to change your life. One of the most fundamental places is in our health, in our area of health. So many of our conversations, many of our shows on Talk for Food are about health issues and not so much about the problem, but about solutions. We come from a place of understanding that there is an answer. There's a natural answer to all of our physical problems, if you will. And with the proper amount of understanding and knowledge, we can make some shifts. With the proper understanding and knowledge, we can affect some fundamental and, you might even say, miraculous. It may seem as though they are miraculous shifts back from disease. And if we're breathing and choose to turn around, no matter how far and how close to death's door we may be, the power to change the course of our life is always present. Again, not only on the matter of faith, but on the matter of an understanding of who we are, who and what we really are. And I will say this, who and what we really are is not who and what it appears to be. We are not flesh and bone. We are something much, much more profound and much, much more powerful than we credit the flesh and bone. So, in that spirit, today's show is going to be another training session, and this is going to deal with the physical world. It's going to deal with our physicality, and it's going to deal with the subject of food, something that we have quite a relationship to and many ideas about, and many of those ideas that we have about food are totally incorrect. They are upside down, and the state of our health is a testament to how upside down we are and how backwards we are in terms of the real perception of where real value is. And our food intake and our habits are all set up to support, I say, a vast backwards way of doing things. And so we're going to take a few here. On the other side of the break, it's going to be my pleasure to welcome today on our show, we have Sally Fallon, president of the Weston A. Price Foundation, an organization in Washington, D.C., and she's going to shed some major light on the subject of food here on Talk for Food on webtalkradio.net. You stay tuned.
You may not have heard, so listen carefully. Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered, including asthma, pneumonia, flu, diabetes, AIDS, hepatitis C, the common cold, and dozens of others.
The details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, so that it will never be lost. The book is in simple language. You can make it in your kitchen.
In America and Africa, over 100,000 cases of malaria and other diseases have been successfully treated, and thousands of clinical trials have been run using the same formula. Download the first one half of the Miracle Mineral book free at www.miraclemineral.org.
So take back your health.
Go to miraclemineral.org.
Dr. Alan Preston.
There are almost 400 pages to this book, 369 to be exact. Every page is chock full of information. You know, you just mentioned that 68% of Americans don't consume the RDA of magnesium. 19% of Americans do not even consume half of the RDA. And probably the RDA is too low to begin with. He's right. Magnesium, crucial. 68% of us in this country do not consume enough of this incredible mineral involved in 325 enzymatic reactions in our body, most of them concerning the generation of energy. And baby, you need energy to heal. Very, very much so. The name of the book is Transdermal Magnesium Therapy. The author is Dr. Mark Sirkis. He's a researcher and a clinician, and I'm very impressed with this book, very impressed with the information.
Your power to maintain and restore well-being is enhanced when you know what magnesium naturally does for you and the wide-ranging consequences of deficiency. In addition, Dr. Sirkis introduces a simple but elegant way to replenish the body's stores of Mother Nature's catalyst for health. Order your copy of Transdermal Magnesium Therapy today at Amazon.com and fine bookstores everywhere. All right, thank you for tuning in to Talk for Food here on webtalkradio.net with Adam Abraham. You know, I say those words pretty much in that way every week, but after I get past those formalities, the sky's the limit. We cover so many things, so many subjects relative to how to improve the quality of our life, our health, and our well-being. And we're not limited to the thoughts we think or in our relationships. It's also our relationship to our foods, for example. Food and the consumption is, you know, our mouth is a doorway to, well, it can be our health, but it can also be our physical and the demise of that health. So we do discuss this frequently. Now, so in this particular case, though, I just recently learned of the Weston A. Price Foundation there in Washington, D.C., and it has a wealth of information about nutrition and about foods that really I didn't learn in school, and I have some vague memories of some of the behaviors that they talk about. So I put some feelers out, and I've found a wonderful response from Sally Fallon, who is the president of the Weston A. Price Foundation. And I want to welcome you, Sally, to Talk for Food.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, let's start right off and get into this. Tell us about the foundation itself and about Weston A. Price, and that sets the stage for where we go from here.
Okay, well, Weston Price was actually a dentist, but he's considered the father of nutrition studies. And back in the 30s and 40s, he traveled to remote parts of the globe. He wanted to look at people's teeth, first of all, because for him, teeth were a sign of whether or not people were healthy overall.
Uh-huh.
And he found a number of cultures that had perfect teeth. They had no cavities, and they had broad faces, so nobody needed braces. Everyone had beautiful, straight, white teeth.
Mm.
And he also looked generally at their health, and he found that these people were superbly healthy. So then he looked at their diets and what these people were eating.
Okay.
And although the diets were all very different, he was able to formulate some basic principles about nutrition. And these principles are totally different from what our government is telling us. And as Dr. Price predicted, the dietary guidelines today are leading to all kinds of diseases, including infertility.
Yes.
So because of our concern about the direction this country was going in, some colleagues and I set up the Weston A. Price Foundation in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
We're a nutrition education foundation, and our goal is to provide accurate information about nutrition and to show the scientific validation of these traditional foodways.
As you are mentioning that our behaviors today, we've got a generation of taking products where we don't know what's in our foods anymore. And in fact, what we think is healthy for us is often diametrically different.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about some of those things in broad sense. Let's start with milk. I grew up drinking milk, loving milk, if you will, as a kid. Mm-hmm. But I also, we talk about physically challenged mouths. I've got a story unto myself about my mouth because in terms of my teeth and everything else, clearly I'm a product of the new generation in that respect, even though I'm a baby boomer. So let's talk about what we ought to be doing versus what's happening right now.
Well, Dr. Price found a number of cultures that were very, very healthy that consumed dairy products. In
mm-hmm.
fact, the cultures that consumed dairy products tended to grow tall, very tall and well-formed people with beautiful teeth.
Mm-hmm.
However, the milk that they were drinking was very different from the milk that we buy in the supermarket today. First of all, the milk in traditional cultures came from animals eating the food they're supposed to eat, which is green grass during the growing season and hay, which is dried grass, the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to put your animals on other types of food, as they are in confinement, you know, they're even eating old donuts and candy bars,
no,
bakery waste and stuff. Yeah.
Are you serious?
I kid you not. And they're eating lots of soy, and they're eating citrus peel cake full of pesticides. They're eating the pellets that they make after they make ethanol. So number one problem is the milk today comes from cows who are not eating the right kinds of foods.
So,
and any mother can tell you that the baby's comfort and happiness depends on how she eats and what comes through her milk. The second problem with our milk today is that we take the fat out of it. We've been bamboozled into thinking that low-fat and skim milk are good for us, and
mm-hmm.
they actually can be very toxic because they've been divorced from the fat. The fat's there for a reason. Nature doesn't make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And the third reason, and this is the most controversial of all, is that we pasteurize the milk today, which is actually a horrendous high-temperature industrial process. It involves a lot of chemicals, very rapid heating. And this damages all the delicate components of milk, which we now know are critical to making that milk safe, to enhancing our immune system, and to the absorption of all the nutrients in the milk. So there is a huge difference between what we call real milk, which is unpasteurized whole milk from pasture-fed cows,
mm-hmm.
and commercial milk. And through the Weston A. Price Foundation, we've actually created a renaissance in raw milk. We have local chapters all over the country who help people find this kind of milk. We've really saved a lot of small farms because they actually make a decent income when they're selling raw milk.
If you can even find raw milk.
Well, now, where are you located, Adam?
I'm in Arizona, and unfortunately, I can find raw milk.
Yeah, raw milk is available in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to, we have two websites. One is WestonAPrice.org, and the other is RealMilk.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to RealMilk.com and click on where, we have sources of raw milk listed by state.
Uh-huh.
And that's actually the tip of the iceberg. It probably represents about 20% of all the sources. The other place you can find raw milk is to contact one of our local chapters, and they're listed at WestonAPrice.org.
You're listening to Talk for Food on WebTalkRadio.net with me, Adam Abraham, and my guest is Sally Fallon, president of the Weston A. Price Foundation in Washington, D.C. I have seen raw milk as an option for years, but I'll tell you, if you don't know what the differences are and don't really understand it, when you pick up that raw milk and you look at the label, the thing that draws your greatest attention is that big disclaimer and warning under the bottom that says, this may contain bacteria that is harmful to your health, you know, something to that effect.
Well, and that's such a double standard, because every food can contain bacteria that are harmful to your health. And mm-hmm. the least likely food to contain bacteria that are harmful to your health is raw milk, because raw milk contains good bacteria mm-hmm. that keep the bad bacteria out. And raw milk contains enzymes and all sorts of components that get rid of bad bacteria. Raw milk is an amazing food. And even our government admits that the best protection against illness is raw milk, only they call it breastfeeding. But raw milk is raw milk, whether it comes from a human breast or a cow's udder. Mm-hmm. It's all raw milk, and we know that the components in raw milk kill all sorts of pathogens.
Since most people are not drinking raw milk, some of the other caveats that they have about milk, or whether it's a sense of lactose intolerance and other kinds of issues that may be associated with it, those responses are associated with the milk that is getting the pass. But the fact that the raw milk labeling does not include the beneficial aspects of it, the profoundly beneficial aspects of it, but gives you this warning about what may be harmful, it's clearly a deterrent. And
it's less and less of a deterrent. More and more people realize that the government is, you know, got a vendetta against raw milk and that there's a double standard.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really think it is a deterrent. The sales of raw milk, you know, in California you can buy raw milk in health food stores.
Yes.
And those sales are going up 40% per year.
Excellent.
And I would imagine it's about the same everywhere else. And the reason they are is because of the testimonials, especially from parents, mm-hmm. about how their children recover from frequent ear infections, asthma, autism, behavior problems, learning disabilities, when they switch from pasteurized to raw milk.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a magic food.
Oh.
And in adults, we've had people recover from cancer. We've had people recover from osteoporosis, arthritis, and once again, things like asthma. So it's really a word-of-mouth type of mm-hmm. explosion in knowledge.
Here's to an acceleration of that, because we don't see ourselves as taking in something like with regular milk, for example, or products that have other additives in it, which we'll get into. We're not connecting the absence of nourishment and nutritional value when we take those in. So we're creating an imbalance. And the one thing that I really appreciated when I started to understand about raw milk was the fact that it was a way to restore and replenish vital enzymes and components and bacteria.
And good bacteria,
yes.
And the thing about raw milk is it's so easy to digest
mm-hmm.
because your body doesn't have to make any enzymes to digest it. They're all there.
Yes. So there are solutions. There are natural solutions, frankly, if we're just taking them in. The other thing is in Arizona, we have a lot of health food stores, mm-hmm. but few of the health food stores actually, they have organic milk. But they're all saying they're all pasteurized and everything else, and it's like, wow, this labeling
actually,
thing.
Actually, usually they're ultra pasteurized.
Ultra, not yes. just pasteurized. They're ultra pasteurized.
Yeah.
And so it's like we're having to really start to look at what does this mean? If it says organic, you're supposed to be open. This is healthy, but then you're seeing it's not just pasteurized; it's ultra pasteurized.
Yeah, ultra pasteurized. See, pasteurization does not take milk to the boiling point.
Uh huh.
Ultra pasteurization takes it above the boiling point. Now, you can't. That means that's not something you can do in your kitchen. You can boil milk. You can take it to the boiling point, but you can't take it to above the boiling point.
Yeah.
And when you ultra-pasteurized milk, that's what you do. So it is completely unnatural. And the proteins in milk are very fragile. They look like these little squiggly ribbons.
Uh-huh.
And they get all warped and messed up by this process. And it's no wonder that fewer and fewer people can even tolerate these commercial types of milk.
We are having, a revelation about nutrition.
it really is a revelation to many people. But you know, things are different today than they were 20 years ago. People are not as inclined to believe the government, to believe authority, and very often one of the first things that people start to question is what the government is telling us about food. And I can tell you categorically that the advice the government is giving us about food is genocidal.
Yes.
It will lead to the die out of the species if everyone follows it. Fortunately, not everyone is following it.
Sally, you have a penchant for getting to the bottom line, because that is absolutely, you're right. When you look at the general direction and the initiatives of what is being supported versus what's being suppressed, even information-wise,
yeah,
it supports the continued decline of our health, even though industries sit ready to help us maintain and manage our disease. You know,
yeah, right.
That's another part of it.
They
yeah
don't make any money unless we're sick.
Well,
the dietary guidelines, these low-fat guidelines, you know, diet based on refined carbohydrates and the wrong types of fats and oils, is a recipe for disease,
mm-hmm,
and infertility, and particularly, and this is what's so tragic and sad, really, is the suffering in our children,
mm-hmm,
from all these diseases. And, you know, children should be healthy, robust, happy. They should learn easily. They should be capable of intense concentration and limitless energy. And we are not seeing that in our children today. They are not achieving their heritage, their birthright of good health. And that's
mm-hmm
tragic.
I absolutely agree with you. And I would add, however, that octogenarians should have the same. We should be able to say the same thing about an octogenarian, about the nano?
The nano? Well, I could tell you my husband is an octogenarian. He's 82.
Uh-huh.
He looks like he's 50.
There you go.
He has more energy than I do, and I'm 60.
Mm-hmm.
And he ignores all the advice. He eats tons of butter. He's not a milk drinker. I'm the one who drinks the milk, but he eats meat with the fat and lots of fat and lots of shellfish, and he just totally enjoys his food. He does not eat processed food.
Mm.
Lots of soups, homemade soups, that kind of thing.
Let's talk about some of our other misconceptions about food. Where does the wisdom and the truth that Dr. Price found take us in terms of the
yeah
breadth of food that we should take?
He found all these cultures ate plenty of animal fats. If they had pigs in their culture, they ate the whole animal. They ate the fat. If they had dairy in their culture, they ate the butter. If they had red meat in their culture, they hunted when the animals were fattest. They wanted the fat. In fact, they never ate lean meat. They always ate the meat with the fat.
Mm.
If they ate birds in their culture, they wanted the skin and the organ meats. And they left fruit on the trees for these animals to get fat. And no skinless chicken breasts in these cultures.
Oh.
And they valued the fat as being essential for good health and reproduction. And we now know why scientifically, because these fats contain a certain vitamins that you can't get anywhere else, vitamins A, D, and K,
mm-hmm,
which are essential for growth, for health, for learning, for formation of the brain, and for reproduction. And as we have gone to these low-fat diets, we have seen an explosion of diseases, infertility, and obesity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the notion is that these fats will make you fat, but they actually, these fats support thyroid function to give you a good metabolism so you don't get fat.
Here we cut the fat off, and then people are getting fat. And then when we see people, or see ourselves, in fact, as being obese, it really means we're malnourished.
That's absolutely right. Obesity is a sign of malnourishment. It's funny, I have just published a book called A Life Unburdened by a guy named Richard Morris. You can find it at my website, New Trends Publishing,
mm-hmm,
or you can find it on Amazon. He lost 150 pounds. He weighed over 400 pounds.
Mm.
And he was morbidly obese, and he lost 150 pounds by two things. He didn't eat any processed foods. He just completely stopped eating processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
And then to eating real foods, including butter and cream. He started to eat a very high-fat diet.
Mm-hmm.
And collectively, his family lost way over 200 pounds, but he himself lost 150 pounds.
I had a guest on who had diabetes, and he reversed it. You know, he's not diabetic anymore, and he did it by taking a natural approach. But he was on the road frequently. Yeah, he traveled. He's a truck driver. And, you know, he was basically dependent on the cuisine of the road, if you will. So how did, are there methods? Or I mean, do we have to be a sedentary people in order, or can we do this?
Well, no. I mean, we try to find solutions to all different lifestyles. Now, for the truck driver,
mm-hmm.
we would always recommend taking a little cooler with some cheese and salami and butter and things like that. Here's a surprising thing. And you go into one of those mini quick marts.
Yeah.
There is one thing that I think you can buy and eat, and that's the pork rinds, the pork crackling.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a real food, and that's a natural fat and a very satisfying food.
I like it.
The other thing that's surprising is a lot of the truck stops do serve liver, and that's a really good thing they can eat mm-hmm. when they're traveling. Gives them lots of energy, lots of alertness.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things that you can do, and also things that you can do to protect yourself. Now, one thing a truck driver could do is bring a cooler with raw milk with him.
Yes.
We are also very interested in healthy soft drinks, and some of these are available commercially, things like kombucha. And he could take those with them,
mm-hmm.
with him. So you could always get ice on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So with a little bit of planning, a lifestyle like a truck driver, they can eat healthy food, no problem.
I had this reaction to the pork rinds. I've always liked them. And yet,
well, they're a real food. You know, I'm not saying you can live only on pork rinds.
Yeah, I hear you.
You get the unseasoned ones because the seasoned ones will contain a lot of MSG.
Uh-huh.
But just the salted ones are absolutely fine. And I always told my boys that. That's your only choice is the Quickie Mart. Get the pork rinds. There's nothing else in there you can buy that's any good for you.
I was going to say it's a real narrow list, but it's still nice to know. We're coming up to a break, but we have some other thoughts. For example, I'd like to, on the other side, we want to talk a bit about some of the undocumented additives, for example, in our food, and also cod liver oil. Talked a bit about that.
Cod liver oil is very important to us.
Yeah, so we'll prepare ourselves and take this break. You're listening to Talk for Food, and I'm the same guy who started the show, and my guest is Sally Fallon of the Weston A. Price Foundation. And when we come back, we're going to get even more deeply into this subject. So stay with us. Global Light Network brings you an entire line of products for conscious living that directly impact your well-being. This means products that intelligently replenish critical nutritional components, such as magnesium and zinc in ionic form. Products that neutralize deuterium and lower the specific gravity for better hydration of your drinking water. Or how about products that raise your body's pH and, via magnetism, selectively removes bacteria, viruses, parasites, and toxins while leaving healthy cells intact. If you already know why these are important to your well-being, then you'll want to know Global Light Network. If you don't know why it's important, ask someone who does. Then point your browser to globallight.net or call us toll-free at 1-888-236-2108.
We come in all shapes and sizes, but for all our apparent differences, we share an important oneness.
I am my body, not.
Now your child can discover the oneness behind human diversity with I Am My Body, Not from Philos Books. This progressive book written by Adam Abraham helps parents and teachers introduce some of the most basic human concepts and questions. Celebrate the body and the spirit with I Am My Body, Not. Order now, just $19.95 plus shipping and handling.
I Am My Body, Not is available at philos.com. That's philos.com. Order yours today.
Welcome back to Talk for Food on webtalkradio.net. And yes, it's still Adam. We're here with my guest, Sally Fallon, who's the president of the Weston A. Price Foundation in Washington, D.C. And we're having a hallelujah session on food to understand what some of the ramifications are of doing things the way we have become accustomed to doing, and also some of the options that are available to us. For example, I'm learning and understanding that there are strategies. The Weston A. Price Foundation has strategies for helping us, even if you're shopping in a regular supermarket. There are things that you can do and places you can go and products that you can focus on that will guide you and get the nutritional value that you needed. Tell us a little bit about that, first of all, Sally.
Well, we publish a yearly shopping guide. It's designed to fit in your purse, and we name brand names. And we have in mind that this could even be used by someone whose only choice is a supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you have to shop very, very carefully in supermarkets, but you also have to shop very carefully in health food stores.
Yes.
So we name brand names, and we always like to stress that you should never make a fetish. You should never become obsessive about your food, and if you're eating a lot of protective, high-nutrient-dense foods, then you'll be protected for the, you know, occasional time when you eat the wrong thing, and as we were saying, you can't completely avoid all the bad things in our diet today, and you don't want to. You don't want to not go to friends' houses when they invite you or not go out to dinner at a restaurant. So basically, you want to be able to eat in such a way that you're protected even from those occasional times when you're not eating the ideal type of diet. And one thing that is very protective, and we were just mentioning this, is good old-fashioned cod liver oil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't recommend fish oil because we feel that people are overdosing on these omega-3s, but the cod liver oil provides vitamin A and D, which is so lacking in our diet and in such high quantities in traditional diets.
Mm-hmm.
There are only certain brands that we recommend, and they're posted on our website under the section on cod liver oil.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, cod liver oil is not nearly as awful as it used to be. It doesn't smell as bad. And the way to take it is to mix it with a little water.
Mm-hmm.
And then down the hatch, or you can get capsules.
Okay.
But we really feel that everyone should be on cod liver oil.
I have vague memories as a child. We had cod liver oil in our home, and the only thing that was worse than cod liver oil was castor oil, in my recollection.
Well, up until the Second World War, all Americans got cod liver oil. There was a huge public health effort to get people to take cod liver oil. People heard about it in schools. Their governments talked about it. The churches talked about it.
Mm.
They tried to get everyone taking cod liver oil. And these are the people who are living a long time today. The
uh-huh.
people in the early part of the century who had raw milk and cod liver oil and ate lots of fat.
Mm-hmm.
Their bodies were built properly and healthy and strong.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we have a lot of people living to 100 today, but they didn't get started on the type of diet that today's young people are getting started on.
No question about it. And they certainly didn't get into the drug culture either. I mean, you know,
we have
so many advertisements that are talking to 50-year-olds and 40-year-olds, and they're talking about everything from ED to diabetes to this, to that, the other. And sometimes we don't even know what the ailment is.
Well, let me give you a very interesting study that was just published,
mm-hmm.
done in Scandinavia. They had two groups of infants, and one group got cod liver oil every day for a year, the first year of life, and the other group did not get cod liver oil.
Mm-hmm.
Their diets were the same. And then they followed them into adulthood, and the ones who got cod liver oil the first year of life, they had no diabetes at all.
Mm.
Whereas the ones who didn't get cod liver oil developed diabetes at the normal rate that they were expecting. And now everyone's looking for the cure for diabetes. Well, we found the cure for diabetes. It's to give children cod liver oil when they're growing. The vitamin D is especially important for insulin production and the formation of the pancreas.
Mm.
So, you know, a lot of these diseases we actually have the answers to, but it's just that the public doesn't know about them.
Yeah, it's not so much as finding the cure, it's finding out where the cure was hidden.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, 'cause
and the type 2 diabetes is caused by trans fats. These are in all the processed foods and all the foods that people eat when they're trying to avoid butter.
That is amazing. So let's talk a little bit about the, I like to call it the undocumented. I mean, some of them are documented. For example, like MSG is documented, but
well, it's maybe documented, but it's not labeled.
Oh, okay.
MSG is a neurotoxin. It causes all sorts of problems, even, you know, psychotic problems.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the meat-like flavor that the industry uses to make all of these fake foods taste like something good. And it's not labeled. It's usually not labeled. It's usually in things like hydrolyzed protein, citric acid, calcium caseinate. All of these ingredients usually contain MSG.
Mm.
And it's in baby food. MSG affects the hypothalamus, and that's the organ in the brain that's the master organ, master gland,
mm-hmm.
for all the other endocrine glands, and it's also the seat of impulse control.
Huh, okay.
And so when you start these children on baby food, and then they're eating lots of junk food, you know, nothing homemade.
Right.
You're getting children who can't control themselves, who have no impulse control.
Oh, my goodness.
And, of course, that's what we're seeing today.
And then, of course,
they're put on Ritalin.
That's what I was just thinking.
Some kind of a drug to calm them down.
This whole cycle, in the sense that here they're lacking impulse control, and then we label them. With some type of dis-ease or disease.
Yes.
And exactly. As it turns out, but see, those additives get a pass. They're not examined, they're not questioned, and also the people or the ones who are using the additives are not called to be responsible for the contribution they're making. Because in fact, by naming ADD and ADHD and all these things, and then throwing Ritalin and other types of drugs on top of it, the cycle just simply continues.
That's right. Without MSG, the food industry could not exist. People would not eat this food. They even put these types of flavorings in vegetable oils to make them taste like the animal fats that we used to use for frying foods.
Uh-huh.
So they're just everywhere, and the only way we're going to get rid of MSG is to not eat processed foods, because the industry will make sure that it just can't not use them.
I was listening to a presentation you gave a while ago, and you mentioned a study, and I'm not sure if MSG in particular, so I'm not singling it out per se. It can stand on its own record, but you mentioned a study where some rats were given a cereal.
Yes.
Some were given cereal. Some were given rat chow, and then some were given the box. Tell us a bit about that, please.
Okay. Well, first, let me just conclude the MSG section by mm-hmm. saying that in the laboratory, if they want to make an animal obese, because it's very hard to make animals obese,
mm-hmm.
they do it by feeding them MSG. And you can see in the literature MSG-induced obesity in a lot of studies. So that's the other problem with MSG. It's causing obesity. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's turn our attention to the dry breakfast cereals. And these are formed by a process called extrusion,
mm-hmm.
which is really kind of parallel to pasteurization. In other words, it heats the grains very rapidly under a lot of pressure. And just as milk has very fragile proteins, so do these grains.
Mm-hmm.
And the grains become quite toxic when they go through this extrusion process. And we saw this in this study I talk about, where they give one group of rats cornflakes and the other group of rats the box that the cornflakes comes in. And the rats who got the box lived longer than the ones who got the cornflakes. And the rats who got the box died of starvation. They just became listless and finally died. But the rats who got the cornflakes became agitated and started to bite each other and run around their cages and have fits and seizures, and they died of convulsions.
Mm.
And when they did an autopsy on the rats, they found lesions, that is, you know, irregular sores and things, on the nerves of the digestive tract.
Mm-hmm.
So these, and you know, we have as many nerve cells in our digestive tract as we do in our brain. And so these extruded breakfast cereals are very toxic to the nervous system.
Yeah,
Starting in the digestive tract.
I was going to say, that kind of took the wind out of the sails for my sugar frosted flakes, I'll tell you.
Well, we never like to tell you that something's bad without giving you alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have a properly prepared dry breakfast cereal, which is really delicious, in my other book, which is Eat Fat, Lose Fat.
Mm-hmm.
And we recommend hot cereals like oatmeal, which you've soaked overnight in slightly acidic water,
mm-hmm.
and that breaks down all of the components of the grains that are difficult to digest. And then you have that with plenty of butter or cream,
mm-hmm.
and a sweetener like maple syrup or honey.
Mm.
And believe me, that is a delicious, satisfying breakfast. It's extremely nutritious for you.
Got it on my list now. Now, the other thing is, and it's related to the subject of milk, and that has to do with vitamin D and A.
Yes.
I also recall you mentioning that cats, while they lick their fur, they sit out in the sun, and then they lick their fur. They get vitamin D by doing that.
That's right. The lanolin in the fur, when it's in the sunlight, creates vitamin D, and that's why they lick themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I just read something the other day that cows get vitamin D from sun-cured hay.
Mm.
So they have vitamin D throughout the winter from the sun-cured hay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we really need the natural vitamin D, which is made in the body. It's found in animal foods. It's made by sunlight from the oils on your skin,
mm-hmm.
basically the cholesterol in those oils. But the vitamin D, too, is made by irradiating yeast, and that's called the vegetarian type of vitamin D. And that really is a problem. It will have sort of opposite effects of the true vitamin D, including softening of the bones and hardening of the soft tissues like the arteries. And unfortunately, the vitamin D, too, is what they add to these fake beverages like soy milk and rice milk and almond milk and all that.
That takes us into the question of soy.
Yeah.
I hear that's a
well, we've been mm-hmm. a very steady and active voice warning people about the dangers of modern soy foods. We've collected hundreds of studies showing that they're dangerous. Now, I'm not talking about the traditional soy foods in Asian cultures, which are traditionally fermented and consumed in very small amounts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the processed soy foods here, the soy milk, the soy protein, and tofu used in inappropriate ways and consumed in large amounts.
Well, I'm not all that much on tofu in any kind of way, but I'm sure there's a good reason for tofu.
Well, you know, when men eat a lot of soy, their testosterone levels go down.
Mm.
Soy is full of estrogens, and so you have to ask yourself, do you want to be giving little boys soy formula?
Mm.
Do you want to be giving little girls soy formula? It's really like giving them birth control pills. They're very high in estrogens.
Mm. Wow.
And these estrogens cause endocrine disruption, as you can imagine, and they also disrupt thyroid function. They cause, they're called goitrogens, which means they cause hypothyroidism, low thyroid function.
Is that connected to goiter?
Yes, severe hypothyroidism leads to goiter.
Okay.
And in fact, you can induce goiter in animals and people too with too much soy.
And that's also an iodine deficiency.
Iodine deficiency, mm-hmm. and also vitamin A deficiency. You can't make thyroid hormones without vitamin A.
Mm-hmm.
A wonderful food for the thyroid is butter, because butter contains vitamin A, and it also contains a lot of iodine.
It's very clear that what we don't know about our foods, about something we have such a relationship with. We've got an intimate relationship with our foods, and we don't know it. We don't know what's really in it and what it's doing to us and essentially what we're doing to ourselves. But as we're learning, well, now we can do something about that. We can make some changes, some informed choices. One of the questions I have, too, has to do with remineralization. I'm a publisher of a book called Transdermal Magnesium Therapy.
Oh, very good.
And it is, so I really have an appreciation for the pervasive and how widespread the areas of influence and importance of magnesium. The issue is how to replenish the body's stores of it. And
mm-hmm.
so from a Weston A. Price perspective, let's talk a little bit about magnesium, if you will.
Well, Dr. Price didn't put any particular emphasis on magnesium, but what he did point out is that you cannot absorb minerals, you cannot assimilate minerals without vitamins A and D. So it's like the two parts of the balance there. The minerals are like the bricks and the vitamins A and D are like the mortar that holds the body together. So there are many wonderful sources of magnesium. We're big advocates of eating nuts, and they are a good source. And soups and soup broths are wonderful sources of magnesium. But you also need the fats to give you the vitamin A so that you absorb that magnesium properly.
You're listening to Talk for Food on webtalkradio.net. And my guest is Sally Fallon, the president of the Weston A. Price Foundation in Washington, D.C. And what I'm taking out of this conversation, what I'm getting out of it, one is the importance of the fat, because over my life, prefer to cut the fat off, you know.
No, you really need that fat. It's important to eat the fat, and you don't need to be afraid of it. Now, I will say this, people who haven't eaten fat in a long time, or people who have cholesterol that's too low, will have trouble digesting fat. And you need to, build up slowly if you've been on a low-fat diet for a long time. No question about that. Now, and there's certain things in traditional diets that helped people digest fats. Bitter greens was a great help to digesting fats. And also the sour foods like sauerkraut and yogurt help digest fats.
So we're looking at, as we shift and make this change in behavior, taking processed foods as far off the table as possible, but yet at the same time, not stressing out about it. You know, I mean, it's like eating live foods. What about live foods?
There's this movement to all raw, and we do not agree with that. All traditional cultures cook some or even most of their foods, and cooking actually liberates a lot of nutrients in vegetables and gets rid of components that block nutrients. So there's nothing wrong with cooking, and most people prefer their food cooked. But we also advocate what we call super raw foods. And these are foods that have been fermented by a process called lactofermentation, like old-fashioned sauerkraut and pickles. And when we eat these foods, we're getting tons of enzymes and, you know, bacteria and good things for the intestinal tract. So we don't have to worry about what's lost in cooking when we eat our super raw foods.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, one of the things that we haven't mentioned yet we've probably been around the periphery of it, but genetically modified foods. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that, and because this is one of the things we're having an intimate relationship with and we don't know it.
Right. Well, you know, once again, this all has to do with proteins. We need to be very careful about proteins. What they're putting into these genetically modified food is new proteins that have special properties, and very often they're not in normal foods because they're toxic. There's, for example, the snowdrop protein, which they put in genetically modified potatoes, and it's toxic. And that's why normally the food wouldn't carry this protein. And we now have about 12 studies showing that when you feed genetically modified foods to growing animals, you basically end up with dead animals. It just wipes out their immune system, wipes out their guts. This is a huge problem. It's sort of a hidden problem. But once again, Adam, if you are eating real food, you're not going to be eating a lot of genetically modified organisms. It's mainly in corn, soybeans, cotton, and canola are the four big ones, and we don't recommend those types of foods.
You actually mentioned potatoes, which shocked.
Well, they have not released genetically modified potatoes, probably for that reason. They've held back on wheat, and I believe they've held back on rice. So these are not big problems. And if you're buying organic and cooking from scratch, you're not going to be consuming these types of foods.
If one were encountering foods that were genetically modified, would there be a labeling? Would there be some kind of notice to that effect?
No. This industry is so powerful in this country that they've been able to stop any, you know, move towards labeling. But if you buy organic foods, you know that it's not genetically modified.
Okay. I was kind of speechless that you're saying that. It's the truth, you know, but it's still, you know, it pisses me off.
The person at the FDA who made that decision came from Monsanto,
mm-hmm.
and afterwards he went back to Monsanto.
Mm, okay.
So we call this revolving door policy, and basically the industry is making the policies.
But they also have to be eating their own food, I would imagine.
Well, they probably believe in their food. They don't
yeah.
think there's anything. They believe their own propaganda.
That's like the tobacco industry that stood before and this just totally was, there's nothing with this smoke stuff, you know?
Well, you know, I have to say, this is going to sound shocking. I'm mm-hmm. not an advocate for smoking, believe me. I
mm-hmm.
don't smoke. But
mm-hmm.
If you smoke a natural cigarette without additives, it's better than taking antidepressants, or it's better than taking...
Very true, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean...
So we've gone...
A lot of worse
yeah.
things that you can do.
Yeah, we've gone
and
overboard
if you
there.
Are protected, if you get a lot of vitamin A, if you take cod liver oil, your body has a way of dealing with smoke, because we have always lived with smoke.
Yeah, that's...
You know, in fact, a lot more than we do today, because we had to cook on fires, and every house had a fireplace in it.
Uh-huh.
And many of these houses had no chimneys. So people lived in smoke all the time, but they didn't have lung disease.
So, yeah.
The real cause of lung disease is the new types of fats, the trans fats and the vegetable oils, because the lungs just can't work when you eat these types of fats.
Yeah, and the absence of the real fats that could help that.
Your lungs, surfactant in your lung, which is a type of soapy substance that allows the gases to pass back and forth, they're made of saturated fats. And if you don't have enough fat, your lungs actually won't work.
That also addresses the phenomenon that, you know, we'd have to question of someone who's living to 90 years of age, who's in great health, but they smoked, they drank. You
great,
know?
Yeah,
you know. And then you
did a lot. And
sure.
They got a good start. They had good, healthy bodies. Now they might live even longer if they don't smoke and they don't drink.
Well, that's the thing that we cannot just assume or jump in a specific camp and figure this is where we're going to be, because we're fearing and demonize everything else, you know, so to speak.
Right. Well, and we choose whipping boys, and
mm-hmm.
smoking has become the whipping boy for really problems caused by processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
Raw milk was the whipping boy in the early days for problems caused by processed foods. And I do want to say that our philosophy is not to tell you what you can't eat and what you can't do, but to tell you what you can eat and what you can do. In other words, to always find delicious and nutritious alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
We endorse the use of salt. It should be the right kind of salt. It's fine to eat sweet things. They
mm-hmm.
just need to be sweetened with the right kind of sweeteners.
Mm-hmm.
Fine to eat fats if it's the right kind of fats,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. And fine to eat grains if they're properly prepared. And dairy foods are great if they're raw and from pasture-fed cows. So we like to be inclusive. And, you know, so many of these diet schemes are saying you can't do this. You have to not eat this. And we don't like to take that approach.
Talking about approaches, as we come to the end of our time for the show, I'd like to talk a little bit about the work of the Weston A. Price Foundation today, your vision, and how people can get involved and support you.
Well, we are an educational foundation. We publish a quarterly magazine with articles ranging from the scientific to the practical. You know, we always have recipes, and we have a column on feeding children, but we also have some scientific articles, too. So we bridge the gap between the scientists and the layman. And
mm-hmm.
if you're a member, you receive our magazine, our email alerts, all of our new, educational materials.
Mm-hmm.
And for membership, just go to the website, westonaprice.org,
mm-hmm.
or give us a call, and we'll send you a free dietary guidelines booklet. Our number is 202-363-4394.
And I'm understanding, too, that you're looking to... do more research and build a lab?
Our ultimate goal is to have a laboratory
mm-hmm.
where we can test some of these things. But I must say, there really is some good research done by universities, and maybe we can just get some universities to do this work for us.
Well, Sally, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show, illuminating. And, you know, as I have a chance to digest some of this and appreciate it, be more than happy to have you on from time to time, and let's talk some more.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you now.
Okay.
I want to thank Sally Fallon, president of the Weston A. Price Foundation, for joining us today on Talk for Food. And just to remind you, for more information on the Weston A. Price Foundation, go to their website, Weston, WestonAPrice.org. And there is a wealth of information, articles on cod liver oil, raw milk, and also check out their site, realmilk.com. This is knowledge that can help you change your life. I don't know if you recall, she saying decades ago, before we got so mentally dependent on drugs, for example, and drugs as a solution, pharmaceuticals, that people were simply drinking raw milk to recover from a whole range of ailments. And why? Why were they recovering? Basically, they were recovering because the body was getting nutrients and also beneficial microorganisms that it needed to actually facilitate its proper functioning. And so, for example, we're taking antibiotics, we are given antibiotics, and the antibiotics will kill off beneficial flora. Well, if we don't take steps, active steps, to replace that, what are we going to have? We may get over the situation that the antibiotic was addressing, but at the same time, we're going to have an imbalance. Because of the beneficial flora that the antibiotic killed off, what's the body going to do? The body is going to cope, is what it's going to do. And we may be over the ailment of the moment, but we have a longer-term problem that we don't even know about. Balance is absolutely important, and removing toxicity is absolutely important. And with the proper nutrients, with the proper vitamins, vitamin A and vitamin D, I never understood that. I knew you're supposed to have it. I mean, we've been told that, but we've been thinking we've been getting it from so many places and so many ways that has not been happening. So this was very, very illuminating for me, and in a positive way. I'm actually even going to consider shrimp. I have not really cared for shrimp much in my life, but I'm thinking, okay, let me find some reason to start exploring shrimp because of its vitamin A and also the cod liver oil. I am open to that, and I'm going to start adding that. So I want to take this moment, too, to suggest and invite you to write me if you have some questions or comments about the show. Write them in to adam@talkforfood.com. I'll be happy to entertain your questions and maybe answer some of them on the show. People are going to my blog, Thought for Food, and submitting some wonderful questions there. And I'll also take this time to let you know that I got some great things coming up. I was, at a conference in Tucson recently, and of course, depending on when you listen to this show, it may not be that recent. So, but I had the great pleasure of meeting and interviewing Dr. Rupert Sheldrake, and I've been pretty quiet about that because I wanted it to happen first. But it did happen, and got some great shows that are coming up. I've mentioned Gary Renard, Lee Carroll, who's coming on. That's in the next few weeks. Well, the interview, but they'll be coming up as future shows. I'm going to tell you now, I interviewed Jenny Wade, his PhD, author of Transcendental Sex, When Lovemaking Opens the Veil. And that is a fascinating conversation, and that's going to be coming up soon. Jacqueline Aldana of the 15-Minute Miracle and the 1-Minute Miracle. Adele Britton, the Hokey Pokey is what it's all about. In May, it'll be my pleasure to interview Dr. David R. Hawkins, author of Power Versus Force. He lectures in Sedona and around the world, but that groundbreaking book introduced applied kinesiology, muscle testing, that is used by many people today to get answers inside internally. And it sounds like woo-woo science to some people, and yet for the person who is of pure motive, it can be fascinating and be just a wonderful way to get in touch with higher wisdom in the moment. So many more are coming up every week. We've got something good So I'm going to invite you to stay tuned and look forward to, and thank you for being here this time. This, my time is up. This is Talk for Food, and this is Adam Abraham. Be well and be you, and I'm out of here.
Talk for Food is a Philos MediaWorks production.